happy childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Well, let's talk about babies, I guess.
Babies?
Yeah.
What?
Little babies.
You want to talk about little babies?
Babies making babies.
Babies making babies, making blogs. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about my baby, I guess. I'm telling you. Okay. That's a wave. That's two dads, dad to dad.
Which one? Joan?
Let's put our dad heads together. No, physical human one.
Joan's not physical?
No, I guess she is, but it's a human one.
Cyril.
No, new one.
Oh.
Beefcake.
Shadowfax. Beefcake.
I call him Beefcake now.
You call him Beefcake? Is he sort of ripped up?
So I'll tell you why. His name is Lewis, for anyone who, his given name on his birth certificate, but that's not what he goes by in this house. In this house, he goes by Beefcake. So we took him to the baby doctor, and the baby doctor was like, this little tiny baby is too small.
Yes. What did you guys do wrong? He's too small.
He's too small.
What? He's too small, but he lives a vegan lifestyle.
It's like, he's a fucking baby. And they're like, yeah, I'm a fucking baby doctor. This baby too small. So get him bigger.
Yeah.
And you have to come back in 2 days and get him bigger.
Bulk up.
You got to bulk him up.
Get this kid on the protein.
I took it as a mission and I was like, you know what this kid's going to like? You know what he's going to respond to is... You know, like gym talk.
Yeah, locker room talk.
So I started calling him Beefcake, and then whenever we have a bottle, I say, crush that bottle, Beefcake!
Yeah, that's good.
Pulverize that fucking bottle, Beefcake!
Put one of those little wire ball mixers into his bottle, just so he gets used to that sort of, like, that sensation.
Yeah, hell yeah. And I put little ankle weights on him, you know? So that when he's like, kicking his little legs. And so then 2 days later, we went back to the baby doctor.
2 days they want to see him? Every 2 days?
Me and Beefcake, and the baby doctor was like, weighed him and was like, what the fuck have you guys been doing? This Beefcake is so fucking beefy now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we've been deadlifting.
We changed the paradigm.
Yeah. We've been fucking pulverizing bottles, me and Beefcake.
Yeah. We've got a whole new thought technology.
Yeah.
I call him Beefcake now. He's crushing bottles.
He's crushing bottles, and he's huge.
He
and the baby doctor was like, all right, you fucking crushed it. You guys can go home. You're free. I'm sorry I said your baby was too small. And I was like, that's right. That's
now
me
he's
and
too
Beefcake.
Swole.
Now he's too fucking swole. So it's called Beefcake now, and Cyril calls it Beefcake, too. It's really cute.
Jack, we can't do this.
What?
We can't do dad talk. We can't be Jack and Tanner.
Why not?
They're not allowed on this episode. We need to excuse them from the room.
Can we
say this
has been
dad talk?
We need
to invite in the actual host, if you feel like you need to.
This has been dad talk. Yeah.
And I get it. You're excited about your new baby. He's like, what, 3 weeks old?
I don't know, man.
And you're back in the saddle. Also, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. I'm back.
Jamie and I have been doing the show without
you. Guys fucking slandered me so fucking hard, man. Can I talk about that? I know we got to be horny, Jack and horny Tanner. I get it. Because this is the horniest thing I've ever experienced reading this book.
Jack and I read the horniest book we've ever read.
Literally the horniest book. I've got a lot to say about it.
I've seen porn that was less horny.
No, this was the horniest fucking... this is... it was so... I was just like absolutely blown away by how fucking much of a wall-to-wall fuckfest this book was.
Yeah.
I should also say probably... And this is also something we're going to get into. This is not a romance. It's not a romance.
It is.
No,
yes,
it's
it
not.
Is.
It's not. I don't think it is. I think
I'm going to tell you
I don't
why.
Want to be
I'm,
like a rules lawyer, but I'm going to claim that this is not. This is like, it's kind of romance adjacent because it's like about two people who are a couple and it's about what they do as a couple together that's mostly fucking. I do not think it's a romance based on the like 10 to 15 romances I've read.
I'm going to tell you why it is and how it's different from other romances. But first I want you to tell me how my wife and I...
Oh, you fucking slandered me.
Slandered you.
You absolutely fucking slandered me. And there was nothing I could do. It's like... It's the ultimate humiliation because I have to edit. They make me... Baby Nation?
We made him edit it.
They made me edit it. They make me edit it.
Jamie and I recorded two episodes and we just shipped them off to Jack and we're like, have fun.
They make me edit it.
Cuck.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but yes, exactly. So I haven't listened to the one that you recorded on Emma yet.
Yeah.
But I did listen to the previous one about...
Charm Offensive.
The Charm Offensive, which sounds like a great book, which I could have read it, which I'd been invited.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
But at the end of it, you mentioned that you were going to watch Emma and that I would probably have made you watch the Gwyneth Paltrow Emma.
Yeah, I assume so, because you're like a 90s kid. You're like, oh, there's no better time in human history than the 1990s. And I love Gwyneth Paltrow's Emma.
This is a fucking slander. It's a slanderous thing to say about me, and I think you knew it.
You don't like the 1990s, whatever,
it's
Emma?
It's a literal abomination. Here's what I think about the Gwyneth. Let me tell you.
I haven't seen it.
Here's what I think about the Gwyneth Paltrow Emma. And
I don't know anything about it.
I want to have a caveat, which is that it's like highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, and so probably lots of people love it. And if you love it, that's fucking great. Go you. Everyone has different reactions to movies, and you know, hold your head high.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion, when Judgment Day comes and humanity is tried for its failed stewardship of the planet,
yeah,
the prosecution will only bring one piece of evidence, and it will be the 1993 Gwyneth Paltrow Emma.
Why is it so wrong?
I don't know. I thought it was a bad adaptation.
Is it a hip modern retelling?
No.
Okay. Well, that's at least good, because those are often insufferable.
I maybe just need to rewatch it. But at the time, I was incensed. And, you know, I think there may be like a...
96.
There may be a little bit of a Lizzie Bennetification going on, where they like, it's not actually Emma. They're just like people who make Jane Austen movies only know Lizzie Bennet. And it may also be the case that, like, I don't know, Gwyneth Paltrow, like, Emma is like, the one you watched is really good.
It's great. Emma's, it's fantastic.
Like, the fun of Emma is that, like, she's
precocious.
She's bad. She's bad. Yeah. I mean, she's good bad, but she's like, she makes a lot of mistakes. And I feel like they...
Well, she's like 18.
Yeah. Anyway.
I believe you. I haven't seen it.
Anyway, this is not the sort of shit that Horny Jack and Horny Tanner talk about, is it?
No. Horny Tanner and Horny Jamie talked about Emma last week.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
So we're not here to talk about Emma. We're here to...
And editing it.
We're here to talk about another book. Here's the journey we went on.
Yeah. Okay. Not
as usual.
Yeah.
My job is to sort of be the producer. I'm the ombudsman.
Okay, that doesn't mean what you think it means.
I'm the one. What's ombudsman mean?
You're the liaison between the writers and the audience.
Ombudsman. Yes, here we go. An official appointed to investigate individuals' complaints against maladministration, especially that of public authorities. I think that's true of me.
Okay, perfect.
I'm the ombudsman. I'm the one who checks you on your shit, and I'm the one who like keeps you relatable and interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's my responsibility, I think, to a certain degree, to choose the books, because if I don't, you won't, and then we just won't read anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have a way of choosing books that aren't romances, and this.
Well,
is
I have a way of choosing books that excite me.
Yeah,
I have a way of judging a book by its cover.
Yeah,
I think.
And this one's got quite a cover.
This one has quite a cover, huh? So we were gonna read a cool, interesting book about like trans vampires. But then we discovered that it's not out yet.
Yeah.
And then it's just got some hot early reviews. So expect a Dead Collections episode soon.
Okay. Okay.
But once I discovered that book's not out yet, I texted you, and what I did was I went to Audible, which is where I listen to these books. And I went to the romance section and I sorted by most popular.
Okay.
And one of the top books just
leapt
off the phone screen right at me.
Interesting. Okay, I was wondering
I was
how
like,
you found this.
Here we go, Jack. I found us the perfect book. What is it labeled as?
It's a game-lit harem fantasy for men.
A game-lit harem fantasy for men. So this is our first romance that is for males by males.
Not a romance.
Actually, don't know who it's by. It's by a pen named called Rex Albion.
Called Rex Albion. Albion, of course, means Britain, and Rex means king.
We'll get to this, but I do want to explore who we think Rex Albion is.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
But anyway, it's our first male focused romance.
And it's interesting.
Which I think is colloquially known as harem fic.
Oh, really? No, I think, well, I don't know. I don't want to get out over my skis. I don't know what harem fic is. I don't know what Gamelet is. I have just read a Gamelet harem fantasy for men, so I kind of do know.
Yeah.
But I think that as a romance podcast, this is a backhanded compliment for you. Can I give you a backhanded compliment?
Yes, please.
Okay. And it's an open-faced compliment sandwich. So I'll start with...
We don't need sex books.
Boys.
We have Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got Jack Reacher. Yeah. We can crank it
to
Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you an open-faced compliment sandwich.
Yes,
You have failed again.
I have failed again, haven't
this
I?
This... It was not a romance. You picked a
book. You know
book.
The premise of the podcast is I'm not familiar with romance as a genre, right?
And you've shown it.
So why am I in charge of picking the books?
Yeah. Oh, but hang on. Let me get to the compliment part. I think that this is maybe the most interesting book you possibly could have picked.
I know. Wasn't it?
For our romance podcast, because it's like, it's completely opened my eyes to like all sorts of things about the genre, because it not
wild.
Being a romance and it being for men have shown me like what's not happening in the ones that we've read that are romances and are not specifically for men in the way that this is. And it's, I've learned, so that's interesting. And that's something that I'm looking forward to teasing apart with you, if I may use some slightly charged, horny Jack-like language.
The book is called Rescuing Roxy.
Yeah.
We're called Horny Jack and Horny Tanner. This is the horniest book we've ever read.
Yeah.
Absolutely
so horny.
Filthy. But like also not like... pretty tame. Like, there's no, like, kinks that are going to make you uncomfortable. There's no, like, I don't know. Like, all the sex acts are fair. Like, sort of the spiciest sex act is, like, spanking.
Yeah, the spiciest it gets is spanking in terms of, like, what's like, off the beaten track.
Right.
But it is so horny.
It is so horny. So, yes, it's called Rescuing Roxy. It's by Rex Albion. It's
we should say
Harlem.
About it.
Harem.
Gamelet harem fantasy for men.
Yeah, it's just for men. It's like Dr. Pepper 10. you remember Dr. Pepper 10?
It's like Dr. Pepper 10 and Axe body spray.
Yeah.
There's three things that only men can have. And
can enjoy.
Can enjoy. And it's Dr. Pepper 10, Axe body spray, and Gamelet harem fantasies. And also, technically, in terms of pH balance...
secret is off limits for us.
The pH balance would be right for us if we tried secret.
Right. It's not for us.
Yeah. But the pH balance would be fucking perfect for us.
This book was for us.
The pH balance of this book was perfect.
Maybe not us, but like.
Not us. No. I don't want to say that it's for us. People, I guess, like us. I don't, you know, it's pretty horny. I mean, boys can get a horny too, I guess.
Except who, Jack, let's analyze this. Who is it for if not us? Like, we're two people who are open to reading romance books, into fantasy as a genre.
Yeah.
I'm like a big gamer, so like, they got me with the game shit. Like, who is this for if not us?
That troubles me a little bit. Because I felt the whole way through it that I was like, this is not for me. But it's very horny.
But if not you, who?
Yeah, we should say about it.
We should say about it.
Yeah.
It's the horniest book we've ever read. I
so
just want to quickly say.
Have I said that it's a wall-to-wall fuckfest?
It is. I texted you earlier. God, I want some of our female listeners to read this and like give their reaction, because I'm so curious. But
yeah.
I said this earlier to you on text. Jamie, the other night, when I was transcribing my notes from American Dreamers. Is that what it's called? The book we did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
She overheard, I listened to them on audiobook, and she overheard me like playing the audiobook so I could capture my notes. And I was doing two lewd dudes, and she heard the sex scene.
Yeah.
And she turned to me and she said, how do you sit and listen to these books all day and not just be like constantly like horny?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like, how do they not like, you know, do anything for you? And I just was like, I don't know. I guess, like, I don't know. They they're like, they're titillating. Like, I'm like, you know, they're sexy. They're fun. They're like, catch my attention during the sex scenes. But like, I'm not like running off to my bunk, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's a firefly.
Yeah. This book, I was like sitting and like playing Pokemon and like doing other things while listening to it, as is my preference.
Yeah.
And every time there was a sex scene, I just like stopped what I was doing and listened. Like, despite myself, you know? And I think it's because, like, well, I don't know why it is. I guess it's because, like, these are sex scenes for men by men.
Well, let's tease it apart a little bit. And then we'll say about the book.
It makes me a little ashamed because they're so horny.
They're so horny. So there are two things going on. There are a few things going on, but two key things. Thing number one that makes it difficult to have like this as a control or to have the other books as a control is that there's much more doing it.
It's in just the like, other books? Or in this book?
In this book.
Yeah, this book
so
is,
it's like,
is
it goes
slam-packed
pretty
packed
hard.
It.
It's really jam-packed with sex scenes. But I don't think that that's what makes it hornier for boys.
No,
one
I don't
thing
think so.
I want to, and this is why I think it's not a romance. I think that, oh, let me run this by you.
Yeah.
I think that the lack of emotional stakes.
Yes, there's no emotional stakes whatsoever.
Which is the opposite of all of the other stuff we've read. I think that's like a part of the fantasy.
Oh, I think so too. I think, I think that's sort of what, like, I don't know much about harem fic. But I think that's kind of a staple of harem fic, where it's like, it's not about the emotional stakes. It's about how many women can we pair this male character off with.
But like, he's like kind of mostly monogamous in this book.
I think he's entirely monogamous. Yeah. I'm not sure he has sex with another person at all in the book.
He like voyeuristically watches some sexual interactions, but mostly he's just with her. But they only have one kind of emotional conversation, which we'll get into later. But I think that the fantasy for boys, the thing that's directed at boys specifically, is that there are no, like, in the romances that we've read leading up to this, the emotional vulnerability and like the openness between the protagonists is like, is part of the fantasy.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's like, it's not just that they're doing dirty sex on each other.
Right.
They're like,
God, the sex is so dirty.
They're talking about it. But in this, like, it's almost like willfully they're not having any like meaningful conversation about each other, or like, they do say that they're in love with each other.
They do but it's a fleeting moment.
And
it comes and goes pretty quickly.
There's only one moment where they have like a difficult conversation,
like an emotional talk. And then of course, like, he's like, I love you. And she's like, I love you too. And he's like, oh, that's so good to hear. And she's like, will you fuck me in the mouth now?
Yeah. But the one moment where they have like a difficult conversation where they like talk about their boundaries is very specifically.
Oh yeah. He overhears her.
He's
in,
like
in like a hotel, later in like an inn.
I don't
Gosh,
mind
describe
you
the
having
book?
Yeah, let's describe the book and then we'll get back to it.
We'll describe the book. But here's the other thing I'm going to say about how this is different from the more, I guess you would say, female-focused romance books we've read.
Yeah. You know, and with an awareness that, there, you know, there's tons of gray area between, you know,
yes,
like what gets you off. But like, this is so clearly, it's so interesting to me, like, what is it about this that's directed at men that makes it different? And that's one of the things, no emotional stakes.
One of the things I noticed is there's a lot more discussion of where it goes and what happens to come.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me the previous 15 books we read. Like, it just never occurred to me. I was like, oh, they never talk about what happens to the come. But in this one, oh boy, they go
there's
into explicit detail.
Some might say
happens.
Too much. Some might say too much detail. Let's say the book. We got to say it. Then I'll put a pin in it, because I want to come back to the, I think it's interesting. Like the one genuinely, like, it felt like a romance novel in this moment, but it's like funny that this was the moment where they have like a real, it's not sexy. It's not about them fighting like beasts in the dungeon.
It's like, it's him.
It's him like talking
with
about
his jealousy.
Ba- boundaries that they need to set for each other and how he feels. And but it's interesting specifically like what it's about. Yeah. Let's say the book. I'll start. In a world...
You'll start and finish.
Okay. In a world that is not explored in any meaningful way, but perhaps you and I can dive into in somewhat more detail.
Very, very interested in doing that.
In this future, when you die, when your body dies, your consciousness is still around.
Yes, and it's uploaded.
And it's uploaded. They don't go into that at all. They just kind of gesture at it.
Well, they go into it a little bit, Jack. And I want to stop down and talk about that for a second. Have you heard of the show Black Mirror?
Yes.
And have you heard of the episode of Black Mirror called San Junipero?
Yes, I've seen it even.
Yes. Okay, great. This is the same as that, except instead of being about like a female empowerment, like lesbian story of like lesbian love.
Yeah.
This one's just about a man having oral sex with a goblin.
Yeah.
over and over again.
Yeah.
And then also, here's a challenging thought, Jack. So everyone's consciousness gets uploaded to, like, a game.
Yeah.
And it seems, it's sort of hinted at, to Jack's point, they don't really get into the world building, but it's sort of hinted at that, like, you have a choice of games.
Yes.
And our protagonist has chosen something along the lines of World of Warcraft.
Yes.
At one point, he says that the world of Albion is populated by Awoken,
The
Awoken, which is one of two kinds of people.
Yeah.
People who have died.
Yeah.
And who have been uploaded into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then people who are visiting via a VR headset.
Oh, I didn't quite catch that second part. That's interesting.
And can you imagine, Jack?
Yeah.
If your father died and was uploaded to a video game and you were able to go visit him speak with him.
Yeah.
But when you entered the video game via your VR headset, it turns out that it was...
a wall-to-wall fuckfest.
The horniest... experience you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, this is my goblin wife.
Your dad. I'd like you to meet Roxy. It's my goblin wife.
That's my goblin wife, yeah.
Excuse me while I penetrate her. I have to get the god's blessing.
I missed that. I was skimming to. I read fast in between the sex scenes on this one. So I missed that little nugget of world building. Okay, so in this world, when you die, your body is uploaded into the kind of AI sphere, and you can do whatever you want. But it sounds like what a lot of people choose to do is like, what's the latest fucking game technology that I can go and inhabit?
Right.
And the hottest new game, or one of the hottest new games, is this game called Albion, something something Albion. And our hero, who goes by the name of Vandal Lionheart, that's his avatar's name.
His real name is Conrad.
Jacks into the game, and it's basically like...
But he's passed. He was killed by a self-driving car.
Okay.
He reveals.
Is that true? Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
He reveals that he was run over by a self-driving car.
Yeah. Future, you know?
Yeah.
That's the future that liberals want.
Yeah.
And so he jacks into this game, and it's like you know, it's a pretty basic, like, kind of not even an RPG, like a Dungeons and Dragons-esque game.
It's World of Warcraft. Like,
it's World of Warcraft.
I have played enough World of Warcraft to tell you that what they are trying to do
is World of Warcraft. So, you know, whatever your
except
level
horny.
Of familiarity.
Except so horny.
Is. Yeah, but it's set a World of Warcraft, but sexy. Right. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go and like try to kill some cultists. And cultist is like D&D speak for like your basic low level, the first things that you kill in a quest.
Baddie.
And he goes to kill some cultists and immediately runs into another person who has uploaded their consciousness into the game.
Yes, and what an interesting choice she made.
And her name is Roxy Lickspring.
Good name.
And she is a goblin, and she's green.
She's a goblin queen.
She's a goblin queen, and she's green, and she has pointy ears.
5 foot.
Yeah, but other than that, is just a sexy lady.
Just a very sexy lady. And so yeah. She is also an Awoken, which means that she is also someone who passed away and was uploaded into the game.
Yeah.
But she made a very deliberate choice to not play a hero, but instead to play a damsel in distress.
Yeah, and this is where we get into some, like, I think, well, I don't want to put any motivations into Rex Albion's capable mind.
Oh, gosh.
Here.
We should talk about Rex Albion.
But I think that there's, like, the explanation throughout the book is that the reason she's so submissive is that it's a kink. Sure. But it's a pretty convenient kink.
Yeah, 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 yeah. She wants
for the
to be,
purposes of
she's
this
like a sub
gamelit harem fantasy for men,
right?
Which is that she's basically just like, I like my reason for being for uploading my consciousness in this game is I want to basically very just gleefully and voluptuously do
horny sex with
horny sex with you all the time, and then thank you for it.
Yes, 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 yes. let's quickly talk about Rex Albion.
Okay. Well, like, but that's Mace. That's like, then it's a wall-to-wall fuckfest, and there's like
then
kind of some plot.
Fest.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get into the rest of the plot.
We'll get
talk
into
about
the,
Rex Albion.
Yes. I want to talk about Rex Albion because, did you read Rex Albion's bio?
I couldn't. He's like, obviously is a famous in other venues.
Yes,
he's
let's
like,
read.
This is,
let's
okay,
read.
Let's read. Let's read.
About Rex Albion. Rex Albion is a new pen name for an established author with a lot of other books under my belt in other genres. As Rex, I'll be writing men's adventure fiction for manly men. Jack.
Yeah.
A pen name for an established author with a lot of other books under his belt in other genres.
Okay.
And this book was fun.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, pretty funny. Oh, pretty, my God.
Pretty silly.
Oh, my God. I think I know where you're going with this.
Kind of a little bit of a gut buster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sort of knocks you on your ass with its unexpected humor because you're like, you're immersed, you're nipple deep in like.
You're nipple deep in it. Yeah.
Some of the like cummiest, horniest sex scenes you've ever read in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they'll drop like a pretty like well delivered pun,
yeah. And you'll have a falling off your chair moment, won't you?
You're like, oh, this is pretty, like,
wow,
who wrote this? It's pretty silly.
It's pretty silly and funny.
Oh, well, I'll tell you who wrote it, Jack. An established author with a lot of other books under their belt in another.
It could only be one
genre.
Yeah,
and I can think of someone.
Yeah,
a male author.
Yeah,
who I know to write under a pen name.
Yeah.
What was his pen name?
J.D. Salinger.
No.
I mean, Salinger is an anagram for laryngeus.
Ninja Gaiden book. What was his ghostwriter name on that ninja? FX9.
FX9 did this one. Peter Laryngeus, we see you. We see you.
We
can
you,
smell
Peter.
You from a mile off.
This has got your stink all over it.
It's got your stink all over it. So versatile.
I did a lot of research. I tried to figure out who Rex Albion was, and I couldn't.
He's
I
like
couldn't
very
get a definitive answer.
Clearly, keeping it pretty close to the chest. He had like a pretty interesting.
Well, I would
did read
too.
did you read his epilogue?
No, I didn't read the epilogue. Was not included on the.
Well, it was pretty interesting. He was like, it was just about like the business of it. He's like, I quit my job as a content marketing professional, and like, I'm really trying to make it work. So I hope you buy my book.
Yeah. Was it you?
It could be me.
Are you the author of this book? I could write this. I could, and this is a like, it's a horny book. It's porn.
It's porn.
But like, it's kind of well written. It's pretty, pretty breezy and fun.
I think like the writing it. It goes by well. It's like not badly written from the point of view of prose. From the point of view of like horniness, 10 out of 10, man.
Horniness,
absolutely
10 out of 10,
crushed it.
Intricately describing the rules of a role playing game.
Yeah,
10 out of 10. They
10
do
out
that.
Of 10.
Rex Albion will spend pages describing the complexities of like leveling a character up.
emotional or narrative stakes, 0 out of 10.
Well, I don't know if we need those. Clearly we don't. I don't think that's required for a book to be good.
Like, at no point are the characters in danger. At no point are the characters, except for this one moment that I will discuss with you, are the characters at odds with one another. At no point are the characters at odds with another character in the novel.
We haven't even described the book.
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll finish it. We've also got to review this one for the Gray Lady.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. Okay, let's tear through the rest of the plot, such as it is. He meets Roxy. They immediately do wall-to-wall
intercourse.
Fuck fest. Intercourse, yes, thank you. And then she's like, okay, let's go on this game quest. Throughout the quest of the game, gaming elements are introduced. That is, you know, I think part of the fantasy for, you know, gamer types. I'm sure you enjoyed that. It's like, oh, you get +5 charisma type of shit.
Yeah.
I kind of skimmed past that stuff. Then
loved it. Completely absorbed. Man, talk about the male gaze. Just get into like the stats of an RPG character.
In his epilogue, he talks about that. He's like, I really hope that I calibrated the stats of the RPG right. Like, I know I'm gonna get feedback and I'm open to it, but that was one of the most important things to me. It was like,
hey, here's one piece of feedback, Rex. Way too much RPG stuff. I am a huge fan of RPGs, but some of these these passages with the stats, I was just
all right, Jesus. But so basically what's happening is that their mission in the game is to set up a cult to the goddess Amoria, who is a sexual goddess who's
the god of porking,
requires offerings that that involve the act of sex and lovemaking and doing it in a sexual way.
Yes.
And this is in opposition to the barely present in this novel, but I guess antagonist of the novel, which is the cult of libido. Which is a demon god who requires his cultists to do it and do sex and have sex in a sexual way, but also it's evil.
It's selfish.
You're murdered afterwards. Selfish.
Yeah, you're murdered afterwards.
And you're murdered afterwards.
And we meet a character at the very end of the book called Randy.
No, his name's Norman.
Norman. who is also a player in this game who has decided to join the cult of
And that's kind of setting up for the next book.
What I assume is the next
book. Basically it during the course of setting up
there's
cult,
so much more.
No, of course.
They set up the cult. They do a lot of sex.
Yeah.
They go into town. They level up their characters several times. They meet another couple.
Okay, so I got to talk about this other couple because I've teased it a few times. They meet another couple called Tom and Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
And they like have some, they.
Her name is spelled Kerry, like K E R R Y, but with Val on the front.
They vie with one another to see they like meet in a tavern and they vie with each other to see who could be the loudest and most graphic in their sexual shouting through the walls. And then this is the moment that I've alluded to where they finally have a conversation about their feelings. Roxy. I don't know how to say
this. By the way, the voice actors who did the Valkyrie and Tom, like sort of ran out of voices and accents to do it by this point.
Okay.
So Valkyrie and Tom have the thickest Brooklyn accents in the audiobook.
I listened partially on the audiobook and I loved the voice actors. They really like just gave their best. They were clearly professionals who were like, okay, I guess this is the book.
We're just going to have fun with this one.
They like really did accents for everybody. After, how can I describe this in a way that's not too graphic? Because I know a lot of people listen to this around the dinner table. After an act of lovemaking that results in seminal fluid on
being deposited onto the face of Roxy, the Goblin Queen.
Roxy then goes next door and
to Tom and Valkyrie's
place
room at the inn,
wherein
to borrow a banana
and the fluid. I hate,
but not
this
for
sentence.
Sex. I not hate for this sexual
sentence.
Reasons.
This is the worst
not for
sentence
sexual
I've
reasons.
Ever been inside of. So I'd love to get out of it as quickly as possible. And just,
I don't remember why they needed a banana, but it wasn't for sex.
During the process of retrieving the banana, the seminal fluid is removed via
orally.
Yes, thank you. And then
a third party.
But when she, thank you. And the, okay, good. That was good. And then she comes back and they have like a real conversation. It's like the,
well, it's, I think you're making it a little opaque. So what happened is
Roxy goes next door
to get a banana.
I've got it.
She has off by,
okay,
a,
I just said it
by like a,
I just went to great.
Please do liberally bleep this. She has the off by a,
yes.
And while that's happening, Valkyrie is being by her husband Tom and to the site of off the of a,
yeah, I just went to great lengths.
And all of that can be overheard,
yeah,
is being overheard by Vandal in his room.
Yeah.
And he's stewing, isn't he?
Yeah, while he's and feeling bad.
And bleep that too. You didn't have to bleep that.
No,
too.
And I went to great lengths to describe it in a way that I didn't have to bleep, and now people just heard like a sea of bleeps. But so she comes, Roxy comes back, and then they have this conversation. Vandal's side, trying to work out how he felt about this. This is like the only moment where they talk about like their internal lives. He could tell he was hearing the truth. Roxy hadn't touched Tom at all. And Rose, well, Rose was a local, not an Awoken. Basically, she's a artificially generated
character.
She's
an NPC.
An NPC, to use a technical term, a non-player character. She's not a real person. A computer-driven NPC, not a human being living in a digital afterlife or visiting through a VR set. Why don't you tell me where you want to draw the line? Said Roxy. I won't get upset if it's a local, as long as it's a woman, but no men, says Vandal. And no other Awoken either way. That just feels different. And I don't want to find out if it makes me jealous. He was struggling not to sound petulant, but this felt like an important conversation to have.
I think we have found out if it
Roxy was absolutely the sexiest, funniest woman he'd ever been with, and he wanted to
not
be sure
woman,
they were
goblin.
On the same page before he got his heart broken. I just like, it's fascinating to me that like the one moment of emotional vulnerability in this movie is the guy being like, like, very specifically, it's fine for you to do whatever with other girls as long as they're artificially generated, but you can't do anything with other guys either way.
Right, right.
Like, that's like the when we finally peer into his heart. Like, that's the one moment of tension in this novel.
I will say, though, he is pretty faithful to her. It's not like he's turning around and doing a bunch of...
He's not bad. I'm just, like, I'm interested in it from the point of view of it's, like, what is it? Why? This is for men.
It's the social politics of this book are so strange because it's at the same time sex positive and also incredibly, like, gross. It's so gross.
Yeah.
It's a male fantasy.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in. It's like, what is it that when you try to code male desire, like, why is it so different?
Why
does it feel so different?
So
and like,
different.
What are the pieces?
And it also feels so like, it just feels like nastier, you know?
Yeah.
It just feels like grosser.
Yeah.
It's also a little titillating. And it also like...
It's titillating, I'm not going to lie.
I was like, Jamie, Valentine's Day is coming up. I'm going to go and order green body paint right now. Because I got a thing for goblins now.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Jamie, I've got good news for you. I know we're still in a pandemic and we have a 2-year-old, so we can't go out for Valentine's Day like we used to and go to a nice restaurant or like go to a play or watch the symphony. But on the other hand, I did get some green body paint.
Yeah, and a like a leather loincloth.
Some fake pointy ears.
So
Valentine's Day is Valentine's Day is back on.
Figured out.
You had a game for us.
I do have a game for us. Don't I?
Yeah.
It's called Great British Novel of the Week.
Okay, perfect.
And this is sort of a callback to our bad old days doing Babysitter's Club books. Mm-hmm. We used to play a game where we would sort of compare the Babysitter's Club texts to popular American
novels. Some of the
novels.
Great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The original segment was called Great American Novel of the
Week. Yes.
This is Great British Novel of the Week. I'll read you a passage to begin with.
Okay.
Don't tell me you're not a fan of the greatest books ever, she teased. She's British.
Yeah, she's British.
He couldn't lie. Of course he was. Even the films and the show they were supposed to be doing. Keep in mind, Rex, a quick note.
Yeah.
That show's coming out like in 6 months, and this is the like near future. So
yeah,
it's not a show they were supposed to be doing. It's a show that has come and gone, presumably.
Yeah, well, and also, Rex, a similar note, like... He has a lot of like nerd references throughout, and they're like, it's all stuff that's like now. And one of it was like, I guess this book was written about a year ago. They're like, oh, I love the 15th season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's like, they're talking about the 8th season of Game of Thrones.
In 100 years from now, when we're all uploaded into the machines, like the however many seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine is not going to be the like common cultural reference.
Don't tell me you're not a fan of the greatest books ever, she teased. He couldn't lie. Of course he was. Even the films and the show they were supposed to be doing. She looked him up and down. Maybe, given your choice of character class, you'd prefer another franchise? I can't lie. I'm a fan of it all. I'm still waiting for the TV series about a Cimmerian, though. Cimmerian.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you still acknowledge The Lord of the Rings is the best, right? You're not one of these fans of season 8 of You Know What, are you? Roxy asked, squinting at him suspiciously. There it is, that passage.
Yep, talking about Game of Thrones.
Absolutely not. I'm still hoping the books finish better, and I love the professor's work. It's even good without the scouring.
Mm-hmm.
So they want us thinking about Tolkien.
They want us thinking about Tolkien. Yeah, quite clearly. And he even says, like, at some point, he's like, he goes into, like...
He says, I wish they'd filmed it all, including
Tom Bombadil. Yeah, and that's
and yeah,
the basis
hey buddy,
of...
Same.
That's the basis of their love. And hey, buddy, same.
Yeah, I would love to see a Tom Bombadil film. Maybe where he marries his wife, the River Goldberry.
Yeah, yeah. I would watch a whole Tom Bombadil film. That's just that.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway.
So anyway, I thought we'd play
a game.
He
wants us thinking about Tolkien.
I thought we'd play a game called Is This J.R.R. Tolkien or Is It Rex Albion?
Yeah. Okay, good. That's easy for me. That'll be easy for me because I've just read Rex Albion and I used to read Lord of the Rings every year for about 10 years probably.
Once a year?
Yeah, every year I'd read all of them.
Oh, wow.
So I think I'm going to do a good job on this. Maybe it's time I read them again. I was actually just thinking that too.
Before we started recording, I was reading some beautiful passages from Tolkien for this segment. And I was like, man, these books are good.
You want to hear a sweet story?
Yeah, please.
After college, when I was sort of like listless and didn't really know what I was going to do with my life, I persuaded my friend Peanut to move to Rome with me.
Excuse me?
After college, when I was listless and didn't really know what to do with my life, I persuaded my friend Peanut to move to Rome with me.
Okay. What's Peanut's real name? Is it Peanut?
His real name is Brett.
Okay.
I called him Peanut, though. Okay. Peanut and I moved to Rome together. I mean, like, I moved to Rome, and I persuaded Peanut to come out for a couple months while I was moving to Rome. And it was good of him, because he, like, never left the U.S. even. So it was, like, pretty impressive that he was like, fuck it, yeah, I'll come to live with you in Rome for a few months.
I would do that.
And, you know, we didn't know anybody, and we were kind of learning Italian on the fly. We ran an apartment, and during the period of living together, I learned that he had never even heard of The Lord of the Rings.
What?
It just, like, had skipped him by. He was not a reader.
But this is presumably before the films came out.
Yeah, I think it must have been. But he was like, no, it was around the time the films came out, because he was like, oh, let's watch the films. And I was like, no, you got to read it first. And he was like, I've only read like 5 books in my life.
Yeah.
And
that's true of a lot of people.
So every night in our like weird little apartment in Parioli in the northern Rome, we read Lord of the Rings to each other.
Oh, that's so cute.
Isn't that sweet? We read the whole Fellowship of the Rings together. We would just take it in turns reading to each other until one of our voices got tired. And then when we finished reading it, we watched the movies.
That is a very nice friend thing to do. It also sounds like a thing that maybe two lovers would do.
It does sound like a thing two lovers would do. I guess that's what makes it sweet, right? When it's kind of on the boundary of that. It's a very loving thing. It's a very intimate thing to read to someone.
Very intimate.
It's not a thing that male friends probably do a lot. I guess that's why I think it's sweet.
Except if, unless they're male friends in The Lord of the Rings, because they're very, the male characters in The Lord of the Rings are very vulnerable.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure that very Frodo sensitive. was reading like the fucking Song of Lothlorien to Sam before bedtime a lot.
Do you want to hear a very sweet story?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we're in the middle of a segment, but yeah, let's do it. Let's have another sweet
story. Every single night.
Yeah.
When I put Miles to bed.
Yeah.
I sing him a lullaby, and we have, since the day he was born, one of us sings him in a lullaby. Jamie usually sings him the Billy Joel song, Down Easter Alexa.
Okay.
And I sang him the Song of the Antwives from Two Towers.
That's so nice.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. You make up a tune.
Someone on YouTube, put a tune to it, and I just sing that version.
That's really
sweet. He loves it.
That's lovely.
He loves hearing about the Ents and the Antwives.
I love that. I love to hear that. Let's go through this segment because we got to review this book for the New York Times and for the Gray Lady, and then we have to go.
Warning! Warning! This segment is surprisingly graphic. If you're listening at home, at the dinner table, or with your preacher, or on the subway out loud, be warned. This segment is surprisingly graphic. Warning. Warning.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to obscure the character names. I guess maybe I'll just use use Frodo and Sam.
Use
kind
Lord of,
a cipher.
The Rings character names for both, and I'll know that sometimes it's a head fake.
Yes. Okay. Here we go. As impressive as his new physique was, when Sam came for the third time, Frodo came again, just as he subsided. Okay. The Hobbit drew away from him, then turned around and cleaned their combined cum off his cock with his mouth, eagerly swallowing it and smiling at him.
Okay. Is this right after they've realized it? They've awakened something in the depths of Moria, and they're afraid, but they don't know what it is, and they have to huddle together for warmth.
See, I knew this was going to be a problem. I knew that you wouldn't totally understand the head fake thing.
Yeah.
And, like, you would just get caught up on the names. But that was
That's from this book?
That was this book. And it was actually a scene starring Vandal and Roxy.
Okay. All right. Well, 0 for 1. 0 for 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do a couple more.
Okay. Sam's mouth closed and his eyes sparkled, and he swallowed dutifully before showing off his clean tongue and empty mouth. Does it please you, my lord? You know it does, Minx. Does it please you, though? Sam chuckled and licked Frodo again. I have a naughty side and a good side. The naughty girl loves tasting my cum on your cock, licking up your lovely spunk, feeling your cum in my mouth, he said, before he swallowed his cock again and began to bob up and down on his erection.
Okay, so I think this has got to be the moment right when they decide to tackle the mountain, Caradhras, because they don't want to go the scary underground route, and the terrible winds of Caradhras knock them back, and even Legolas can't make it much further, and they have to huddle together for warmth.
I'm really worried that you're not getting the print. Like, do you understand that I'm saying Sam and Frodo when I mean Roxy and Vandal?
This is
right?
It's not. This isn't Lord of the Rings. I got it wrong again.
Yeah, it's you're wrong again.
Okay. All right. Let's do. Let's do a couple more.
Let's do two more.
Okay, two more. Okay.
Or do you just want to do one more?
You know, you're the boss here. You tell me.
Sam pulled back just as Frodo's cock pulsed, and Sam looked down in surprise because he loved him to come in his mouth.
Okay, I know this.
Sam was grinning like a madwoman, or the proverbial Cheshire cat, which he supposed was a mad cat.
This is right after they kill Shelob, right?
Nope, this is from this book.
Okay.
One more, Jack.
Yeah.
There, peeping among the cloud rack above a dark tor high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart, and he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him in the end.
Okay.
That the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach.
Okay. So I think this is a misdirection because...
Charge language, right?
I think the shaft piercing him in the end does make me think that it's this book, but the small and passing thing would never happen in Rex Albion. So that's Lord of the Rings.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think we have time to get into Bingus Butchers, but there's a...
I think that's Lord of the Rings when they're hiding from the Nazgul.
That is true. Yes. Yeah. Okay. You got one right. 1 of 4. We don't really have time for Bingus Butchers,
no.
But they do like to give Vandal the Barbarian a lot of shit for his very tiny penis.
Not really. It's like...
I think it's sort of Joe. It's a little
Yeah, they're joshing him. They're joshing
yeah.
him. We've got... To review this novel for the Gray Lady, then we got to get out of here.
Yeah, please.
So, as you know, your wife,
yes.
Was the reviewer for the New York Times review yeah. of romances column.
But she hung up her spurs,
didn't she?
Yeah.
But I'm sure she's got connections back there. And what I want to ask of you, and I guess of Jamie through you, is I feel inspired to be a romance columnist. And write
I think so too. I think someone's got to pick up that mantle.
And if we write something now, do you think you could get it to Jamie, and Jamie could get it to her friends at
yep.
the Gray Lady, and we
yep.
can
yep.
just
yep.
get it in?
Say
print?
No more. It, not a problem. I think that it will be easy, and
yeah.
I think everyone involved will be welcoming and excited about the possibility.
Okay.
And I think our pitch is like, hey, we're two straight dudes, and we read a harem.
Gamelet fantasy for men. Yeah,
and we're eager to review it for the New York Times.
Yes, that's perfect. That could be in our letter, in our cover letter.
Yep.
Okay, I don't have much yet, but I've got a first sentence of our review.
Okay,
and I think we can just go from there.
Okay,
and remember, this is the New York Times, so we need to use like elevated prose.
You got to use SAT words.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, tell me how this strikes you. The experience of reading this scintillating novel by newcomer.
How many syllables is that? Four? Scintillating.
Yeah. Four syllables.
Wow.
The experience of reading this scintillating novel by newcomer Rex Albion.
Yes.
Can best be described as leafing through a Dungeons & Dragons instruction manual cover to cover while watching back-to-back cum shot videos on Pornhub.
Yes, accurate.
And the advantage of that is there's a Twitter bot that
you know, if I'm looking through the New York Times,
and I see
that review, I'm going to go like,
okay,
that sounds interesting.
Tell me more.
I'd like to see what that's like. You want to talk about the New York Times bot that my wife desperately tried to trigger while she was a romance reviewer for the New York Times, and her editor made her remove the term, I think it was finger blast.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking...
From a review, because Jamie was deliberately trying to trigger the bot.
Yeah, there's a bot, we should say, there's a Twitter bot that tweets out every time a word is first ever used in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And Jamie tried to get it there with finger blast, but I think had it edited out. I think we're in with a shot with this one.
Okay. You don't think they've used the word cum in?
Shot. Cum shot. We'll try to cum make shot. It one word. Okay. Yeah. That's as far as I got for our first sentence.
Okay. That's the headline, right?
That's the lead.
That's the lead. Okay, so. Written by the inimitable Peter Larangis.
Yeah. we think.
We're pretty sure.
We're pretty sure.
Yeah.
This wall-to-wall fuckfest
will leave you horny.
Yeah. Or
I'm that's part one of an ascending tricola.
Okay. Horny? Do we want to make this alliterative?
I'd like to aim for that. I'd certainly like to aim for that.
Horny, heaving,
and
haruspicating. That's an SAT word.
Yes, and that's what we want.
Haruspicate.
That's going to trigger the bot.
To predict.
Oh, well, it's not. Well, it is.
To
it
tell
is sort
a
of
fortune.
Like, it is a little bit of a black mirror.
Yeah.
Like, this is a vision of, like, a... I can't tell if it's a utopian or a dystopian future. Honestly.
I guess I should be writing this down. I've failed to be writing it down.
Okay.
The experience of reading this scintillating novel by newcomer Rex Albion.
So then I guess because you mentioned Rex Albion there, we'll want to say, like, writing under the pen name Rex Albion, comma, the inimitable Peter Larangis is responsible for the prose in this scintillating novel.
Writing under the pen name Rex Albion, the writer.
Inimitable. There needs to be an SAT word in there.
Inimitable. Larangis is responsible for the, scintillating prose in this novel.
Yeah, and then if you want a hedge, you can put in parentheses, like, we suspect.
We suspect, yeah. So now we're back to where you were. So what's your ascending tricola again?
I don't remember.
This novel will leave you...
Yes, this novel will leave you horny.
This novel... let's say what it's about. This novel about barbarians.
Young love.
Oh, wait, no, we said this wall-to-wall fuckfest.
This wall-to-wall fuckfest.
Fuckfest.
Although there is also face-fucking.
About barbarians and greedy goblins. What about greedy goblins?
That's good. I like that.
Greedily gobbling goblins. So we need something for barbarians.
Big beefy barbarians.
Big beefy barbarians and greedy goblins. That is actually quite beautiful. This wall-to-wall fuckfest about big beefy barbarians and greedy gobbling goblins
will leave you horny.
Should we just
and then we
just
had
add
an,
in
we had a second
written. We will remind you almost certainly by Peter Larangis.
Yeah.
Just in case people have forgotten.
Yeah. We'll leave you horny.
Yeah.
And then what was our second phrase in the ascending tricolor?
Heaving. And haruspicating.
And haruspicating.
I hope that triggers the bot.
I hope it triggers the bot, too.
Yeah.
And it's true. It does haruspicate the book.
Yeah. Is it Tolkien?
Oh, that's good. Confidently, yes.
You may ask, to which we, your humble reviewer, here at the Gray Lady.
Yes.
Your humble reviewers here at the Gray Lady.
Confidently say
respond
yes.
Respond confidently.
Yes.
Confidently, yes.
Or at least as any living author can get.
Yeah. As at least as close prose. As any living author
has gotten, maybe.
Has gotten to the poetic prose of our, should we say, of our Lord and Savior?
Well, you know what they call him in the book? They call him the Professor.
Of the Professor, and that's alliterative, isn't it?
Feels,
in a nice way,
that
isn't
feels
it?
Pretty hoity-toity.
To the poetic prose of the Professor. Of the, let's just do one, an adjective, if we can. Of the pontificating Professor?
Yes.
Pontificating Professor. Oh my God, they're going to think Jamie did this one.
I know. They're going to be like, oh, she's back.
She's back.
She came out of retirement for this one.
Let's just close it out.
Yeah, let's close it out.
I'll be in my bunk. That's perfect. In my bunk. Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring. P.S. We love this one.
Oh, yeah. Did you love it? You love this book?
I found it very titillating.
You're going to go to Goodreads and review it?
I'll throw this review on Goodreads.
On your personal Goodreads?
On my personal Goodreads. can I read it back to you real quick? And then we do have
please.
To go.
Yep.
Okay. Dear readers of The Great Lady, the experience of reading the scintillating novel by newcomer...
Dear subscribers.
The experience of reading the scintillating novel by newcomer Rex Albion...
This one's going to be behind the paywall.
Yes. Can best be described as similar to that of perusing a Dungeons & Dragons instruction manual cover to cover while watching back-to-back cum shot videos on Pornhub.
Yes.
Writing under the pen name Rex Albion, the inimitable Peter Larangis is, we suspect, responsible for the scintillating prose in this novel.
Yes.
This wall-to-wall fuckfest about big beefy barbarians and greedy goblins, written, we'll remind you, almost certainly, by Peter Larangis, will leave you horny, heaving, and haruspicating.
Yes.
Is it Tolkien, you may ask? To which we, your humble reviewers here at The Gray Lady, will respond, confidently, yes. Or at least as close as any living author has gotten to the poetic prose of that pontificating professor. Perfect. I'll be in my bunk. Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring, P.S. We love this
I guess
one.
You should say, we'll be in our bunks.
We'll be in our bunks.
But otherwise, I think that's cut and print.
Okay, we did it. We don't have time for burns. We don't have time for anything else. We gotta go.
Oh, I have a burn.
Okay, say it so fast because we gotta
go. Have to do it. We have
say
to do
it so
burns,
fast because we gotta go. Say it so fast because we gotta
go. You're
not
go. Allowed to skip burns just because you have a baby.
I promised my wife I'd make her dinner.
Just because you have a baby, you can't skip
because
burns.
Because we have a baby. Please say it so fast.
Roxy nodded. I didn't want people thinking I'd wandered into the wrong game. I suppose you picked Lionheart because you're going to be so brave and heroic. Her eyes sparkled mischievously, which he'd never seen eyes do in real life. But he could have sworn there was a subtle lens flare effect when she said it. Yeah, that was the idea. Not too subtle, is it? Subtlety is sometimes overrated, Roxy said. Did you get Vandal from the comics or because you're a big savage barbarian? The later, but the rest works too. Where's that accent from? I can't place it. New Zealand? Roxy laughed. No, from the home counties. England, around London, she added, when she saw his confusion. That's a burn on you and your bad English accent, Jack.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough, because it sounds like it's from New Zealand.
What are you, from New Zealand?
Yeah.
What are you, from South Africa with that accent?
I got a burn on me, too, if you want to hear it real fast.
Yeah, please.
Seriously, though, I think they have a painting of one of the foul beasts in the Sewer Fighters Guild. Just remember to go and buy some posies from the gardeners before you visit their hall. They try to keep it clean, but the Jacks and Jills can't smell much of anything. Best to stay upwind, if you catch my drift. And you surely don't want to catch theirs. Jacks? I said. An old nickname for the Sewer Fighters.
Oh, yeah, you are a sewer fighter.
And so in this novel, there's a guild of people who like hang out in the sewers
just go
and
into
fight
the sewer
big rats. And their nickname
rats, and that
is
you.
Jack.
You went to your crawl space and fought rats one
That's
time.
Literally
so.
True. Well, we have to go. We have to leave. We have no time for anything except to say, please do subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Thank you for listening to our podcast. And also, thank you for rating and reviewing it on iTunes and for buying our merch at bit.ly/BSCC merch. You can also support our show at bit.ly/RattlesnakeJake. And tell a friend about the show. I hope you enjoyed this. This week, we did read a novel. The novel we read was, of course, called Rescuing Roxy. Vandal the Barbarian, Book 1. By Rex Albion. It's a wall-to-wall fuckfest. I recommend it if you like that sort of thing. It's a game-lit harem fantasy for men. Next week, we're going to be reading a romance novel. We forgot to figure out what it is. So, hey, guess what? Jack, who's probably editing this episode and thinks he's done with it, go and do a fucking pickup where you say what it is we're reading next week. And here's that. It's The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood. Thanks, Jack. That was great. And all that remains for me to say is that this week I have, of course, been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring. Horny Tanner Greenring.
Oh, sorry. My name is Horny Jack Alexander Shepard. Your name is Horny Tanner
Daniel
Horny Tanner
Greenring.
Greenring.
Yes, that's correct.
And we don't have an outro for the show still somehow.
No. Yes. How many episodes in are we?
23.
We might be childhood friends and I might drive you out.